You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. What exactly is a living wage here in Wisconsin? The state and the nation are in the middle of an ongoing conversation about raising the minimum wage. 10 states and the District of Columbia raised their minimum wages during the last legislative season. Some cities did, too, with Seattle phasing in a $15 minimum wage. That makes it the highest in the nation.
Here in Wisconsin, labor advocates are suing the Walker administration to get the state to evaluate whether or not Wisconsin's minimum wage of $7.25 is a living wage. Wisconsin has a century-old living wage clause that says the base wage should not be below a living wage.
And voters from both parties and counties around the state indicated that they'd like to see the state's minimum wage raised to $10.10 an hour in advisory referenda during midterm elections.
So if some Wisconsinites say $7.25 an hour is not a living wage, then what is? Today we ask you just that. Call us now at 800-642-1234. We'd love to know, based on your experiences, your own wages or salary, the cost of things where you live, what is a living wage in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Here with us to kick off the conversation is Stephen Deller, professor of applied economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Stephen, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with our terminology, a living wage. How do you define it?
Well, depends which economist you ask. You'll get a different answer. Basically, it is it's a wage level that you can essentially pay your bills. You can live in a reasonably priced house or apartment. You can afford to eat nutritiously, and you can basically cover your costs.
Now, as I understand it, legally in Wisconsin, living wage is also defined under the law as one providing a worker with, this is a quote, reasonable comfort, reasonable physical well-being, decency, and moral well-being. So different terminology there, and I expect that there's a lot of gray area when you define it.
There is a lot of gray area. I mean, because essentially what we're saying is that we want to have a wage structure that people are comfortable. Now, comfort is, I mean, everybody's going to have a different definition of what is a comfortable wage. Some folks, you could be six figures and you're still not comfortable. Other folks could be, $10 an hour and I'm doing fine, thank you very much.
So how would you say you generally calculate a living wage?
There's many ways of doing it. I think that a simple way to do it is, suppose that you're looking at buying a house. And what does the banker usually say? Well, you shouldn't spend more than 30 to 33% of your income on a house, on living. So we could use that as kind of a benchmark and work backwards and say, well, what would it take to pay for an apartment that is $500 a month? And you work it backwards and you assume, well, 38-hour work week, 4 weeks out of a month, and that's a little over $10 an hour. I've done a little calculation based on weight or rents in Wisconsin counties, and the county with the lowest rent for an apartment is Forest County. And using that 30% rule, you're looking at a wage of about $9.90. The most expensive is Waukesha County, and there you're looking at $19.87 an hour. So it really varies by location.
So how would the government, say, account for that variation if they were theoretically interested in pursuing a living wage when there's such variation?
Well, there's different ways of doing it. The one way is to increase the minimum wage to some threshold. The question is that how do you adjust that for cost of living? And unfortunately, we really don't have very good data on that. I mean, the best that we've got really is kind of housing prices. And median rent is a pretty good proxy for cost of living. So you could do it on that, but then it's going to create, it could create a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding. Another way to do it might be through the tax code and to establish something like a state-level earned income tax credit, where rather than actually going out and forcing employers to pay more, is essentially use the tax code to achieve the same end.
We've got a caller. Let's go to Wade in Black River Falls, and you can join us as well. What is your definition of a living wage? What do you need to live on to pay your rent, to take care of the kids, to buy groceries? What constitutes a comfortable living wage to you? That's our discussion right now. Wade, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, thanks for putting me on. The problem in many cases is not just the minimum wage, but the number of hours that a person's able to work. They've been limited to working under 30 hours because I'm going to use QSRs, quick service restaurants. They're limited to 30 hours because of the benefits situation with the Quality Care Act. So by raising the minimum wage, people have already lost roughly 10 hours a week. So the larger question is can we get them back to working more hours at the lesser pay to keep the cost for the actual employer better? They've really taken the money out of a person's pocket because they don't get the hours anymore. And I also find that more people are less likely to work two jobs to make up for the difference.
Okay, thanks a lot, Wade. And Wade, getting at the fact, I guess, that a lot of people don't work 40 hours a week. Some people are, in fact, constrained to keep it to 30. How does that factor in here?
That's another complicating factor. Different businesses will have maximum number of hours that they can work for a variety of reasons that they can do that. That's why we have a growing pool of folks that are kind of forced to work multiple part-time jobs. They may appear to be full-time employed, but because they're really kind of jockeying three different jobs in order to make ends meet, it really creates a hardship for a lot of these folks.
Now, when we look at the proposed minimum wage that, for instance, Mary Burke was supporting in her candidacy, $10.10, there's a discrepancy between that, say, and what some calculations for the living wage are from MIT. Say if you're an adult, you have one child, they calculate a living wage, in that case, at $19.95 an hour. So maybe a $10 break there. How do you account for some of the different numbers here?
One of the biggest is out-of-pocket expenditures. When you look at that MIT study, the big difference when you look about different types of households is child care. You end up with a lot of folks that are working at minimum wage jobs, and they have to provide for child care, whether that's preschool child care or after-school child care. And when you figure that in, you have to make a lot more, because not only do you need to cover the cost of the child care, but you still have to be able to afford to pay rent and put food on the table. And it becomes very, very difficult for a lot of families to be able to do that.
Right. It's interesting looking at the same MIT calculations. One adult with two children in child care, the cost there upwards of $1,000, $1,233 a month. So child care, definitely something under consideration here for the living wage. Let's go next to Tim in Ladysmith. Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Interesting program. I think your guest does a great job of articulating this. I think the question about a minimum or a living wage is really dependent on the person themselves. I mean, I was telling your screener that when my wife and I were first married, I lived in Oklahoma in the mid-80s, and the minimum wage then was $4 an hour, and we lived on it, lived in a two-bedroom apartment, pretty minuscule living. So it's kind of a tough question to ask, because it really depends. In an American entitlement society, some people, living wage is eating caviar and driving a Cadillac. I mean, that would be some people's. So I just don't like that terminology of living wage. I think it's somewhat, because a living wage in Wisconsin is different than a living wage in New York City.
Right.
And
Tim, I'm curious about the age factoring in, too. You said, I think when you were in college, you lived on $4 an hour. Do you think as people get older, they maybe come to expect a different standard of living, and therefore the living wage idea would increase over time?
Well, I think one of the problems you have in this society is you have people fresh out of college, and they think they should be living at the lifestyle their parents lived at when it took them 40 years to get there. I mean, come on. I mean, the factor is when you're first married and you're starting out, I don't think you should expect the same, this kind of idea that, well, I should be making $50 an hour and living high off the hog. I think one of the problems with Americans is they live in a debt society, and people don't want to live without anything, so they go way in debt, and then they're trying to pay their bills off. And there is some aspect you almost have to do that today, but you also have to learn to live within your means, and that has become a lost art in American society today. So,
okay, thank you for your thoughts, Tim. Appreciate that. Do you think, Stephen, that there is some point, from an economic standpoint, below which it's impossible, though, to do the basic things, shelter, food?
Yeah, there is. And that's kind of what the living wage concept is supposed to be, is that you've got basically reasonable housing that you can afford to eat, that you can afford basic transportation to get to work, that you can cover the necessities of life, if you will. But the caller's correct. I mean, Tim is perfectly correct in saying that different people, you know, the necessities of life, well, is that a brand new car? Is that a state-of-the-art stereo system? Is that a, or is it simply, you know, I want to be able to live in a safe neighborhood, and that's my criteria. And it's going to vary from person to person. It's also going to vary by the type of place that you live. If there's a fair amount of research out there that says that some folks are willing to take a lower wage to live in a really nice place. Some people have referred to that as the Madison effect, if I could, is that people are willing to take a lower wage to live in Madison because of the amenities that are here, the entertainment, the ability to different types of restaurants. There are other places, though, that I won't name them, that you'll have to pay me more to live there. So there, it gets to be a very complicated situation, and it's going to vary a lot by from person to person.
We're speaking right now with Stephen Deller, applied economics professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The question we're considering is, what is a living wage in Wisconsin? Labor groups are arguing that the state's minimum wage should be raised by law because the state constitution requires that the base wage be a living wage.
So tell us what you think a living wage is here in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. Based on your income and expenses, what pay rate do you think allows you to live comfortably, however you define that? And are you a business owner? What wages do you pay? Do you think those are living wages? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And to be clear, we're not asking on this conversation whether or not we should raise the minimum wage. We're asking what you think a living wage is. What does it take to pay the bills, provide for your family every month?
We're continuing our conversation about what a living wage is here in Wisconsin. There's been a national and statewide conversation about whether the minimum wage should be raised to a living wage. Labor advocates in the state are suing the Walker administration to reconsider whether the state minimum wage of $7.25 an hour is a living wage.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234 about what you think a living wage is in Wisconsin. From your life experience, what is the hourly wage someone needs to make to maintain a base level of comfort, health, safety, wellness? Were there times when you felt like you did make that living wage, other times you didn't? Share it with us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Steve, before we get to some of these callers, why do we have, for instance, a minimum wage to get at this question of a living wage? Why a minimum wage?
It's essentially establishing a floor. It's just a phraseology to say that you can't pay below this. So there's nothing magic about a minimum wage or that particular terminology.
And do you see a case for essentially changing the terminology minimum wage to criteria for a living wage?
I think a minimum wage makes it cleaner. As soon as you start talking about a living wage, it becomes much more complicated. As we know, if we would, you know, today trying to pass any kind of policy is very difficult. So I think the cleaner and the simpler that we can make it, it's more likely to actually move forward.
And let's get to the state itself. Can you run us through what a living wage is here in Wisconsin?
Again, it really varies on what part of the state that you're living in. I mean, it can range all the way from, you know, $10 an hour in Forest County is a living wage, if you want to call it that, to $20 an hour in Waukesha County. So, I mean, it really varies by where you are. I can remember a friend in college, a bachelor's degree, coming out of Illinois, that was offered a wage at the Bank of Boston, and his base comparison was Illinois and central Illinois, rural Illinois. And looking at that wage that the Bank of Boston offered me, thought, oh, geez, that's a really good wage. I could live pretty good as a single guy. Moved out to Boston, and he couldn't find an apartment. So, I mean, it really varies from place to place. I think that's why a minimum wage is essentially saying this is the bare minimum, and we're going to set that bare minimum and then let the market decide if we want to go above that.
Let's head back to our callers now. Tim joins us in Madison. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
I employ several hundred people in the food industry business, and we like to pay a living wage only because you get better employees and they stick around longer and you get better customer service, and it's better for my bottom line to pay people more. So, I mean, your last two callers were, they seemed anti-living wage. So I think as a business owner, I make more money by paying my employees more.
So you wouldn't agree with the argument that has been made that if you're paying your employees more, you can't afford to hire as many employees.
That's utter nonsense. It's demand that creates, how many employees you need. And the better service you give, the better repeat customers you're going to have, the more business you're going to have, the more people you're going to have to hire.
And are you willing to share with us what you pay your workers?
Well, let's say we have hire a high school kid, $10 an hour. And starting cook, just starting, $11.18. So, and that's higher than the minimum wage. That's starting. Those are our starting wages. So,
okay. Well, thank you so much.
I think Tim raises a very good point here. Is how does a business move towards profitability? And there's kind of two broad approaches. Sometimes it's referred to as the high road versus the low road. The high road is the approach that Tim took, and essentially service matters, the quality of the product matters, and I'm willing to pay my workers whatever it takes to get that product quality and service to the highest level that I possibly can. That's kind of the high road. The other way is we're going to cut costs as much as we can. We're going to drive down labor costs. We're going to drive down input supply cost, and that results in much lower wage pages. I mean, so it's two different ways of how do we, as a company, how do we generate profits?
Okay. Well, thank you, Tim, for that call. We're going to move next to Craig in Green Bay. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I definitely kind of agree with that last caller. The around between $10 and $12 an hour, you can pay your bills. I think for a living wage, I'm 30 years old. I just went back to school. I think for a living wage to be able to pay your bills without help from your family, I think you would have to be closer to the $15 mark. The one caller who said earlier just about, how a lot of people expect to graduate from college and then, live this posh life and not have to put in the time, I have to disagree. I think a lot of people from, an older generation don't quite understand where people that are just graduating are coming from, but you have to look at the complete opposite spectrum of what it was like 30, 40 years ago, getting out of high school and getting a job at a local factory and basically being able to support and raise your family. I think anybody who graduates college now, they just want to be able to live a comfortable life and support their family like their grandparents did before them.
Thanks a lot for the call, Craig. And Stephen, just briefly as we wrap up here, how would you respond to that? He's saying 15 for a family and maybe 12 for someone else.
That could be fairly reasonable. That's in a Green Bay market area. I would presume that that's a fairly reasonable hourly rate. I think one thing, though, that has not been talked about that needs to be brought in is whether or not there are benefits associated with these wages. I would be willing to take a lower hourly wage if I knew I had a good benefits package. If I did not have a benefits package, or not a very good benefits package, I'd demand a higher wage.
And we leave it there. We're out of time. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Stephen Deller, Applied Economics Professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, about what constitutes a living wage here in Wisconsin. You can continue the conversation over on the Central Time Facebook page.